Our reading from Luke's Gospel begins with a situation that we have all seen play out many times. But this time, Jesus is there. This is a situation where some are judged to be in and some are judged to be out. The Pharisees, the scribes, the people with power and control, the ones who get to say who is righteous and who is not. The Pharisees are observing the way Jesus is with people and they criticize him. Often, this gospel reading we have today, we move right to the parable without considering these first few verses. But as we consider the parable, let us remember why Jesus told it. Not because someone came into his view who was a sinner and he was preaching to him or her or them, but because the leaders of organized religion were condemning people they considered to be sinners and condemning Jesus for welcoming them. What does Jesus say? But first, he says that in response to them saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Imagine the tone of their voice. And that's when Jesus says, so, I've got a story for you. I've got something to share. And this is the person, Jesus, who we call the Christ, who is our Savior, and in this story we can feel that and see it and hear it. Not only does Jesus welcome these people, he eats with them. He has table fellowship with them. Jesus invites everyone to his table. When we hear the parable that is so well known, named for the one who went on a journey away from home to find himself, the prodigal son, that's what we think of. But many have noted over the years the story could also be named for the other two people featured in it, the loving father and the obstinate son, the older brother. We might at first think this parable puts us in the place of the prodigal son, needing to change our ways and turn to God. A very Lenten lesson, and certainly a lesson for us. But we can also see ourselves as the father, or we could see ourselves as the older brother. A question might be for us, today, who am I most like in this parable? How can I hear it in a fresh way? What grace does God desire to give me in my situation? Because grace is abounding. It's abounding in this story for all. But not everyone is open to receive it. First, the younger son is not open to receive the grace. He was born into a loving family with resources and given the opportunity to mature in the care of a father who loved him. Sometimes when we think about grace and God's action in our lives, we think about it as something we're waiting to see, we're waiting to experience, when in fact grace is all around us right now in this moment. But the moment was not enough for the young son. He demands to have his inheritance so that he could leave home and make his way. In that culture in which he lived, asking for his inheritance before his father died basically meant he was saying to his father, "You are dead to me. You are dead to me." This was serious, and those listening to Jesus tell this story at that time almost certainly thought that the father would never welcome his son back after that extreme act of disrespect. And not only does the son leave and take the money, we hear that he used it in very sinful ways and nearly died of starvation. But at that moment of hitting rock bottom, wishing he could share the pig's food, he had an epiphany, a realization, and we hear that he came to himself. Sometimes it takes hitting rock bottom before we or someone we love will realize that it's time to face reality and make a change, or maybe claim who we are, that we are worthy of love and respect and a gift to our world, no matter what we've been told by anyone else. And here's that healing theme, right? We've been working through Lent. So much of people's troubles, our troubles, come from the fact we were not loved, we were not embraced for who we are, and that goes for everyone. Even if we've never acted as badly as the younger son, or had as many issues, maybe, as I'm implying many do, we're all on a journey of self-discovery, right? Growing and maturing throughout our lives. As long as we're still breathing, we are on that journey, which is a healing journey for many of us, either from the pain of childhood or the pain of rejection for whatever reason, or the pain of an injury or a difficult circumstance, something tragic that happened to us. I like to say to myself that I am still seeking, say this about myself, still seeking, sometimes finding, always found. Just as the younger son's father was always there for him, God is always there for us, for you. We are always found, even when we're feeling lost. That lost feeling is temporary. Our parable makes clear, and here's the point in the story when the Pharisees and the scribes get challenged. All who are upholding the structure of organized religion that excludes some as not righteous, not worthy, not right. There's this point. Because this parable is a balm. It is grace. It is the word of God to all who are told we are not welcomed. Whoever these people are, everyone. Grace, certainly for those who are being told they can't go to the Lambeth Conference. Those being told by the Methodist Church, you can't marry, you can't be ordained. And many others. I bring up those examples because they are primary in the news right now. They're really being talked about in many, many forums. And so, you know, we look at our world, what's going on through the lens of Scripture, and I can't help but mention those things, but people are excluded for every reason out there. It's not just those things. It's not just the LGBT community who are excluded. But certainly we are. I'm not sure when it will be said, but I can easily imagine that historians will look at this time and say, you know, the University of Kent really got it right. If you haven't seen this, the University of Kent put out an incredibly clear statement about why they're having trouble hosting the Lambeth Conference, because they welcome all. And it's not just that they welcome, you really need to read this. It's a beautiful, beautiful document about what diversity really is and embracing it, what that really is, without second-guessing anything. So, before the son even gets to his father sees him in a distance, coming home, and runs to meet him. Rather than being angry or punishing, the father is overjoyed, full of compassion, and plans a party for this younger son. Jesus is clear. Our God rejoices in us without condition, is always there for us. God is love. Sometimes we need to turn back toward God away from something. But sometimes, as in the case of Lambeth and rulings from the Methodist Church, those outside, being told they're outside, are not lost, but have been put there, not invited to the party. There's a cartoon that really grabs me around this issue. I posted it on social media. The cartoon is by a man who calls himself, get ready for it, the Naked Pastor. And you can see all his work at his website, thenakedpastor.com, and order his prints. I'm sure he'd be happy for me to tell you that. Well, there was one. It shows a flock of sheep. These are white sheep with black legs and hooves and little cute little black faces. And Jesus is there, and he's approaching them with a sheep wrapped around his neck, bringing this sheep to them. And this sheep is very colorful in the rainbow colors, which certainly speak to us of the gay pride colors, but also diversity in its totality. Jesus is bringing back the one who is not first included in this group. So he's holding it, and one of the white sheep with the black little hoof, right, puts up his arm, his leg, his hoof, and says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, hold it right there, Jesus. He wasn't lost. We kicked him out." Yeah, it's powerful. It's powerful. What strikes me the most is while the whole group can say that beautiful, different, colorful lamb is being held by Jesus. Remember that. And remember to whom Jesus was telling this parable. To those who thought they could decide who was in and who was out. Amen. Yeah. The only one in the story who stays lost is the older brother who was so certain he was righteous and that his younger brother ought not be embraced with love. The elder brother hears the music, learns what has happened, and refuses to join the party. Who is lost? Whenever anyone is lost, we all feel it a little bit. We feel the pain of not being able to celebrate with everyone. We want everyone, God wants everyone, to join the party. God welcomes all. God welcomes we who have sinned and now repent. God throws us a party. God welcomes those who've been excluded. God throws us a party. God welcomes those who've excluded others. God throws us a party. It's the same party. There's only one. And it's a good one. So let's not miss it. Let's all go together to God's celebration. It's never too late. God has turned on the music. The dancing has started. Let's all go. Amen.